Well, hello, friends. How are you today? My name is Liz, and I'm so glad you can join me here in the studio. And with me in the studio today, I have Simon.
Hi, Liz. It's good to be here with all of our listeners. It's always fun to have a chance to be on the panel here at Advanced Radio.
Great. Thank you, Simon. And also with me is Ellen.
Hello. Thanks for having me. It's going to be a fun discussion today.
Cool. Fun discussion indeed. And what are we talking about today? Well, it's a science article. And if you have your Advance magazine with you, please turn to page 32. And what are we talking about today, Ellen?
We are talking about Pluto and whether or not it is a real planet.
Okay, so all you friends out there, Pluto. I don't know what comes to mind. I think whatever comes to mind will show which generation you category you belong to. Simon, what comes to mind?
Mickey Mouse's dog. You know, there's in those Disney cartoons, there's two dogs. One is Goofy. He speaks. The one that doesn't speak is Pluto.
Okay. And that's not what we're talking about today, right, Ellen?
No, not at all. We're talking about the planet or former planet, Pluto, that I don't know. It seems like it might be back to being a planet.
Okay, planet, former planet. Well, I don't know, listeners, what you learned in school, in your science class, exactly how many planets did you have to memorize? And I know for some of you, you memorized it in a different language. But today we're going to be talking about Pluto, and I think it was once considered the smallest of the one of that group of planets that we had to memorize. And somehow something happened to its status, and not everybody was happy that its status got changed from planet to something we call dwarf planet. Right, Simon?
That's right. A dwarf is a word. We don't usually use this word in English anymore. Sometimes it can be a little bit offensive, but when you're talking about planets, it's okay. The idea is it's a small planet, kind of smaller than a full planet, but bigger than just a rock.
Okay.
That can include a lot of
things. Yes, it can. I personally find it rather interesting whether you agree it should stay as a planet or not. The fact is the word planet is still being used.
Right, exactly. And I think they discussed that a little bit later, that maybe there shouldn't be really any controversy because it is still sort of being classified as a planet.
Right. And yet we see at the top of the page, the Pluto planet controversy rages on among scientists. Now, I find it interesting. Why do we have the article "the" in front of Pluto, Simon?
Well, because the controversy is the thing we're referring to there. The controversy rages on among scientists.
Very good. So actually, normally, if we're talking about Pluto, we don't need the article "the," but actually Pluto planet is what's describing controversy. It's the controversy. So it's the Pluto planet controversy. And it rages on among scientists. What does that mean, raging?
Raging just means it's continuing. It's continuing on among scientists. So this discussion has continued since 2006.
Wow. And when we say rage, what kind of feeling are we talking about here?
Well, it's a big argument, I guess. There are a lot of emotions about this issue, as we'll come to discover reading this article.
Yes. So it's interesting. It's a planet way out there, and people have strong feelings about whether we see it as a normal planet or a dwarf planet. Well, again, friends, if you have your magazine with you, we're on page 32. And what we're going to do today is we're going to divide today's lesson into two parts. So please follow along as we go down the first column with our first reading.
Pluto, our favorite dwarf planet. The Pluto planet controversy rages on among scientists. Pluto, a distant world on the frigid outskirts of the solar system, was downgraded 8 years ago when scientists changed its status from planet to planetary dwarf. Scores of Pluto fans booed the decision and terminology dwarf planet imposed by the International Astronomical Union, which voted in Prague to reduce the number of planets to 8. Controversy has yet to wane. The maelstrom mounts as Earthlings prepare for a rendezvous. An American data-gathering spacecraft will make a historic Pluto flyby this year. Ironically, the New Horizons space probe was launched the year the far-flung orb was demoted. Clearly, Pluto is a touchy subject, said Fred Walter, a professor of astronomy. As Walter sees it, powerful scientific evidence undergirded Pluto's downgrade from planet to dwarf. It has the most extreme orbit of any of the planets, at least when it was a planet, Walter said, noting Pluto, about the size of Earth's moon, is highly dependent on a larger, full-fledged celestial body, a guardian planet in the cosmos. Pluto isn't gravitationally independent, Walter added. It's gravitationally tied to Neptune.
All right, so we begin with quite an introduction here. Pluto, a distant world on the frigid outskirts of the solar system, was downgraded 8 years ago. Now, already we have a couple words or phrases to point out. Frigid outskirts. Help me out here, Ellen.
Frigid is just another word for freezing, and outskirts just means another word for kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So frigid outskirts just means it's kind of really far away from the sun.
Okay, how else can we use the word outskirts?
Well, we can use it when we're talking about a city, for example. You can drive out to the suburbs or the outskirts of the city. You can use it for pretty much anything geographical, actually, when you're describing relations of things. So the important thing would be sort of the core or the center, and then anything that's a little further away from that would be the outskirts.
Okay, great. Now, moving on, we have downgraded. Now, some of you might know the word upgrade, especially when it comes to flying. I like an upgrade. Do you like upgrades?
I love upgrades.
Yeah.
So especially when you're suddenly told you get to go to the next class up. All right, so that's an upgrade. When you get to have this chance to move from one class to a higher class, that's considered an improvement. But then downgrade would be the opposite, from one class to a lower class or a lower level. And this happened 8 years ago. When scientists changed its status from planet to planetary dwarf. Okay, again, that seems kind of funny because the word planet appears again from planet to planetary dwarf. Now, what happened because of this decision, Ellen?
Well, many of Pluto's fans actually booed this decision, or they disagreed with the decision, and they don't like the terminology. The dwarf planet that was imposed by this International Astronomical Union.
Wow, the IAU, just to make it easier.
Yeah.
All right, scores of Pluto fans, that's right, scores of Pluto fans, scores would be just a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And another way of saying a whole bunch, lots and lots of Pluto fans, they booed the decision. So it's funny how the word booed has become officially a verb here. And the decision and terminology, and this was done in Prague. As a result, from 9 planets, once upon a time, we had to memorize the names of 9 planets. It became 8. Okay. So because of all this booing going on, the controversy has yet to wane. What is wane?
Well, wane means get less over time, sort of fade away or fade out.
Sometimes when you have people who don't quite agree with something and they continue to, resist, you just give them a little time. Eventually, they get used to it and the issue will just kind of die. But in this situation, the controversy has yet to wane. It's still ongoing. The people who are booing, they don't like it.
Well, it's interesting, too. I think a big part of the reason this controversy is a big issue to start with is because of pictures like the one we have at the top of the page.
Yes.
you know, when in science education we're teaching students the different planets, we mm-hmm. make them memorize the names of the planets in order, and we draw diagrams like this that kind of show the planets all neatly lined up.
Mm-hmm.
But that really isn't the way it is. There's all kinds of things orbiting the sun that mm-hmm. don't count as planets. And so it's not like a very black and white issue. This is a planet. This is not a planet. It's a very gray issue with a lot of things that have some characteristics of planets, but some characteristics that don't quite match up. And so it's interesting that as science progresses, it's like people keep getting new information, and that keeps adding fuel to the controversy. Keep heating it back up, right?
All right. That's true. You're right, Simon. The diagram we have here at the top of page 32 is a drawing that, an illustration that I've seen many times. And as a kid, I could remember, having to reproduce this in class. And we would all draw. And for myself, Saturn was very cool. But you're right. There are other things going on in space besides these nine little balls going around the sun.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just think about the Earth, we even have a moon. You know,
true.
That's just an additional thing that is orbiting the sun. So some of the reasons why Pluto might have been demoted or degraded, downgraded, could be because of these extra, you know, objects that are also circulating or orbiting.
Well, but it's interesting there because we were talking about how this controversy isn't waning.
Mm-hmm.
And they use an interesting term at the beginning of that next section there where it says the maelstrom mounts.
Mm-hmm.
And a maelstrom is like a time of confusion or argument or disagreement. But this maelstrom is mounting because we're preparing for a rendezvous. So we have another satellite that's going by Pluto, adding mm-hmm. more data to this discussion and this debate. So it's like every time people start to accept the way things are, more data comes in and people start to question all over again.
Yeah, their memories get refreshed and then they remember what they've been fighting for. All right, so yeah, maelstrom, a very, very fancy way of saying great confusion. And then rendezvous, that's a French word, I believe.
Yeah. It just means to meet up. Right?
Okay. And again, also a rather fancy way of saying meeting. And, yeah, so this spacecraft we see here in line 13 will make a historic Pluto flyby this year, okay? Historic, normally we think history, that's something of the past. But why are we talking about a historic Pluto flyby?
Well, when we say something is historic, we're saying it's important to history.
Mm.
And so a flyby means that this spacecraft isn't actually going to Pluto. It's literally just going to fly past it. It's going to fly by it. But that is important because it's not easy to get to Pluto. So
mm-hmm.
we don't have spacecraft flying by it all the time.
Mm.
And so this is big news.
Okay. And ironically, when we say something is ironic, that means it's not quite the way we expect it to be. And there's always maybe even a little bit of humor in it.
Right, right. It's kind of like funny in a weird way.
Right. And what is funny in a weird way here?
Well, it's funny that this particular spacecraft was actually launched the year that Pluto was downgraded. So in 2006, we actually sent this spaceship into the space.
Okay, so during the sea of controversy. Okay, moving on then. We have a guy here by the name of Fred Walter. He's a professor of astronomy. He says, clearly Pluto is a touchy subject, and a touchy subject would be an issue that is very sensitive. So something that you know that if it's getting mentioned, someone's feelings are going to either get hurt or they're going to get angry or they're going to get offended. So it's a touchy subject. Clearly, and as Walter sees it, powerful scientific evidence undergirded Pluto's downgrade. Okay, undergirded. Simon, help us out.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about something being girded, you're basically talking about a supporting structure. So mm-hmm. the idea here of having scientific evidence undergird Pluto's downgrade is that there was a lot of evidence supporting and promoting the decision.
Oh, boy, touchy, because, These people feel it's a very wise decision. We have facts. We have evidence. We have proof. Okay, and moving on, it has the most extreme orbit of any of the planets, at least when it was a planet. Okay, so extreme orbit, what is that?
Well, orbit just means the rotation around the sun mm-hmm. in which it had. So extreme orbit means it really just did not have a stable kind of orbit or circle around the sun.
Okay. So normally all the other planets, they have this track, so to speak. They have this course around the sun. And then we have Pluto, who is kind of doing his own thing, so to speak. And noting Pluto about the size of Earth's moon. So that's not a very big planet. If you think about it, moon's not really big. Well, all things considered here. Yeah. And when it is about the size of Earth's moon, and we also see that it's what, highly dependent on what, Simon?
A larger, fully-fledged celestial body. A guardian planet in the cosmos.
Wow. Help us out. What does that mean?
Wow. I'm not entirely sure. That's a big sentence. If we look at the words, though, in it, it says it's highly dependent, which means it needs or it's influenced by mm-hmm. this larger, full-fledged, so full-fledged means fully accredited. Everyone agrees mm-hmm. that it's a celestial body. A celestial body means something you see out in the universe. And the idea here is that this celestial body, this thing that you see that is very big, that Pluto is dependent on, is a guardian planet of the cosmos.
Okay. So, in other words, normally a planet is supposed to be independent, running its own course, having its own moon or several moons going around it as they're all going around the sun. But then we have Pluto here, who is not able to be completely independent and is actually depending on someone else to help him do his job, so to speak. So that's why people question its status as a full-fledged planet, and hence it got downgraded. So Walter adds, and we see in line 25 here, Pluto isn't gravitationally independent. Gravitationally just means relating to gravity. It's gravitationally tied to which planet, Ellen?
Neptune. So its neighbor, or its celestial neighbor.
Uh-huh.
So its gravitational pull, or gravity just being that force that we feel every day and why we're not floating around mm-hmm. in the sky. So Neptune provides this gravitational pull for Pluto.
Interesting. So without Neptune, who knows where Pluto would end up?
Well, probably out in space. If you look at the diagram again at the top of the page, you'll see Neptune is the next planet to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pluto is going around the sun. You wouldn't want to say it's a moon of Neptune,
no.
But it's being influenced, kind of like a moon might be.
Very interesting. Well, we have other factors to consider, and that's what we're going to see in our next reading. Please follow along.
Other factors. But just as mystery has shrouded Pluto because of its multi-billion mile distance from Earth, semantics have affected it too, Walter said. We haven't really fully demoted Pluto. The word planet is still there, he said, referring to the term dwarf planet. Denton Ebel, who chairs the Earth and Planetary Sciences Department at the American Museum of Natural History, scoffs at Pluto proponents who say scientists are prejudiced just because it's small. It's not in the same class of objects as Earth and Mars and the other bodies we think of as planets, Ebel said. There are lots of objects out there, and we are still finding new ones. But everything can't be a planet.
If you've just joined in, you're listening to Advance, and we're looking at a science article in this month's magazine. And if you have a copy of it, we're on page 32, second column. My name is Liz, and I have Simon and Ellen here in the studio with me, and we've been discussing Pluto and why there's just so much controversy ever since it's been downgraded from planet to dwarf planet. Now we see here, first sentence, second column here, just as mystery has shrouded Pluto because of its multi-billion mile distance from Earth, semantics have affected it too. And that's a statement made by Walter, who is a professor of astronomy. Now, shrouded, and that just means what, Ellen?
Well, shrouded just means to be covered in something. So the mystery is covering Pluto and its status.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, that's because it's so far from the Earth. We don't know very much about it. It mentioned already that the visit of that satellite, the flyby, was a historic event.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing. We just don't know too much about Pluto. We're doing a lot of guessing.
All right. So we have all these scientific evidence and data, and we're trying to figure all these things out just because it's so far away. We can't always get information so readily. But something else is also affecting this, and that would be the semantics. And when we're talking about semantics, we're talking about the meaning in language, how people see or feel, how they think about things because with the way they use language or how language is being used. And here we see the term, okay, dwarf planet. And some people would say, well, there's no reason to get upset because the word planet is still there. So we don't need to get all upset that Pluto's no longer considered a regular planet. It's still a somewhat of a planet, just a dwarf planet. And that's what Walter is saying here. It's not like we fully demoted Pluto. All right. Then we have another guy moving on to line 7 here, Denton Ebel. And who is he, Simon?
Well, he works for the American Museum of Natural History, mm-hmm. and he chairs, which means he heads, the Earth and Planetary Sciences Department.
All right. And he scoffs at Pluto proponents. Scoff.
Scoff meaning to just laugh and speak about a person in a way that shows that you think that they're silly. So you will often hear it more as a sound, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody scoffs at something, and he scoffs at Pluto proponents who say scientists are prejudiced just because it's small.
In other words, scientists are prejudiced just because they feel bad for Pluto. They're feeling sorry for Pluto because it's so small. Is that what it means?
Well, I know. I think it means that people think scientists are picking on Pluto because it's not as big or exciting as the other planets.
Okay.
It's being bullied.
Yeah.
So to
speak. Especially if you think about, you know, some of those gas planets, they're big, they're colorful, they're exciting, they have rings around them and all kinds mm-hmm. of moons. And Pluto, it's just kind of a chunk of rock. So, you know,
okay.
it gets bullied.
So these proponents, and proponents are people who support, okay? So these people who still support Pluto as being, you know, it should regain its status, they're mad at scientists and just think scientists are just being bullies because you're picking on tiny little Pluto. And yet Ebel says it's not in the same class as, you know, what we're comparing, what, Earth and Mars versus Pluto. Okay, and that's what Ebel's trying to say. Earth and Mars, there are certain characteristics, traits, qualities, whatever, and that's what makes them full-on planets. But then we have Pluto, and there are things we need to consider. He also raises an interesting point. What is it, Simon, in the last part?
He says exactly what we've touched upon already discussing. There's lots of objects out there, and we are still finding new ones, but everything can't be a planet.
Okay. So we have all sorts of things out there in space that we don't understand, that or we're just starting to discover, see, or study. And just because you find something floating out there, you don't just automatically label, oh, a planet. So.
Right. I think this comes back a little bit to what was said in the first paragraph here, just about the semantics,
mm-hmm.
right? Semantics is just this idea of language and how we define something.
Mm-hmm.
So not everything can be defined as a planet.
So we have space trash floating around space. We can't call it a planet just because it's floating out there.
Exactly.
And we have small rocks floating around. Nope, not a planet either. So basically, Ebel's just trying to say, you know, like, we have to consider the bigger picture. There are other things going on out there. And also, it's not like Pluto's fully demoted. It still has planet as part of its title. It just has an extra adjective to it, dwarf. Well, I don't know, friends, how you feel about this, Simon, Ellen. I know it's just been kind of interesting seeing how people feel about the subject. But so far, we've been just looking at one side. I'd like to find out more from the other side. And that's what tomorrow's lesson is going to be all about. So, friends, do please join us again for tomorrow's lesson, part two of this science article. Until then, this is Liz.
Simon.
Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.